What episode is this? Welcome to what episode of the Safety Third podcast is this? We have no idea. We just show up once a week and say things. I've got a list of things that we could talk about if we run out of topics because, you know, we have literally no idea what we're doing.
And a list of things not to talk about.
And a list of things not to talk about and words that we can't say, right, everybody?
What's on the list? Uh-huh. Can you tell us what not to say so we know
what to say? I am not going to tell you what words you're not allowed to say, but there's quite a few of them. I have the backdoor scientist here with me in person today. He's away from Florida and in California, which means we have five people. We have five people right now.
If somebody ever calls me that in real life, well, I'm coming for you.
William is like a cancer that spreads to every other YouTuber.
Oh my God. I feel kind of bad sometimes because, like, remember Tom Stanton's video when he was in LA?
Yeah, I think I think people crapped all over it in the comments section that you were in it or something.
One second. Chelsea? Have you ever met
people? Chelsea's our sixth.
Kevin.
Kevin just got shamed for opening a kombucha, which is disgusting, and not drinking it, probably because it's disgusting.
I didn't want to hurt her feelings.
That is very disgusting. No, I don't like those things.
You like that?
It's kind of sour.
Do you guys like kombucha?
It's okay.
Tastes like vinegar.
Dude, I'll drink anything.
Trying to get our microphone in an ideal situation without covering too much of Kevin. There you go. Yeah, we just got to get comfortable with each other. Yeah. Is that okay?
It's cool.
What was I talking about?
Kombucha.
Oh, yeah. The William Osmond effect. A lot of people really don't like it when I appear in other people's videos. It's like you guys, some of you guys, like Tom Stanton and Peter, have this like really like boomer audience.
Is that true, Peter?
It is true.
I mean,
it's not a lie. It's not exactly not
what
true.
I know of your audience is that like when we went to that that air show, Sun and Fun, mm-hmm. or whatever, you were like a freaking rock star there,
dude.
Like
Peter, everyone kind.
Peter
it was,
is a
no,
dick
because
magnet.
It's just, I'm not saying that you're like actually a rock star because you're not, Peter. You're like,
oh,
a
no,
poser,
it's not.
Like,
it's
in
not
the right context,
right the
you're a freaking rock star.
It's not like, you know, girls coming up to us. It's
old
no,
it's
men
old
coming up to Peter.
Hey, it's like for, old hey, guys. Look at the analytics. Apparently, I have like 40% or like a 20% female audience, and I've never gotten
no,
him.
No,
we shared
way.
Analytics.
No way.
Remember?
Okay, I did think he was a chick magnet. Yes. Peter is a dick magnet. I was actually blown away, dude. Like at Sun and Fun, so at the air show, and when we were in Peter's boat riding around in that Manatee River.
Yep. Every single.
Yeah.
So many old. Men, it was like old white men were like hollering at Peter.
I like the cut of your.
They love
sailor.
That shit.
You were basically getting catcalled.
Meow. You guys,
so I guess
your products aren't that
so
cool.
So that sort of audience, then, like they don't appreciate you, Will, like old boomer airplane men. You think?
I don't know. I just think that there's a lot of people who like kind of more serious, like project-based content, and they. I don't know. I don't
so
know.
So what would you classify your stuff as then?
Edutainment.
I don't even edutainment.
No, there's
like edgy or what?
All right, let me think. What no,
like educational?
Oh, I don't think it's very educational.
Wait. We're gonna. Oh, Kevin's about to see my ad revenue right now.
Ooh.
You should show it to him and see how he reacts.
Okay, I'm searching by visibility, public. Okay, what are my recent videos? Pushing a cotton candy machine to its limits. We melt lava rock and we talk about melting temperature stuff. That's
that
you know,
good.
That's edutainment. Egg drop. I mean they
you're
do egg drops.
Going through your videos
okay, hey,
and
let me
let,
don't
them.
Just throw me under the bus. Give me a second. They do egg drops.
I didn't
in
say
school.
Anything. I just asked the question.
Yeah, okay, you know what? I think I kind of understand it. Looking at my past videos, I definitely deserve the I deserve all the hate that I get from the boomers. Turning a watermelon into meat.
I just published a video and it is like my worst received video almost ever. It's actually really, really funny.
I really liked it. I thought you did a good job.
No, you're wrong though, because like half a million people, 5% dislikes. So that's like 20,000 people disagree with you, Will.
But Alan, why do people not like it?
Okay, so basically, I wanted a little bit of spice. I want a little bit of motivation in my video, right? To just make an Iron Man repulsor. It's a little boring. So I was like, well, I'm gonna like gently roast some other YouTubers who are like bigger than I am And then I'm also going to just like throw in like some random person who is tiny, like less than 1,000 subscribers, and say like they're the best I've ever seen. So basically, Jay Laser Video and The Hacksmith. I rated them and I gave them 1 out of 10 and 2 out of 10 respectively. And I gave a smaller channel called Random Creations 10 out of 10 for hot gluing like two soda cans together and putting it on a glove. I was like, hell yeah. Like that is how you do it. 10 out of 10 Random Creations.
And, it's
people
a joke.
Hated that.
I think
it was not obvious enough.
I feel like you did as good of a job as you could have done. There just are a lot of really, like, I don't know, just weird people on the internet. I mean, like, okay, look at the top comments. It's two. It's The Hacksmith. It's Cheng Teo. I don't know how to say that. And then Nerdforge. It's like three verified comments are the top comments, and every single one of them is positive, including The Hacksmith, who you kind of gave crap for, who's acknowledging, you know, the only reason he's a laser is because a repulsor tech isn't real. And it's like, that's the whole point of the video, is that you can't actually make any of this stuff.
It's like some other people present it as real.
Right.
And
And it kind of, you know, like it is what it is, but it's sometimes it drives me nuts when people will talk about this invention as if they're making it for real. Like I think the one, because The Hacksmith does a lot of really cool stuff, but the one that I really remember is he made the real arc reactor, and it's not at all a real arc reactor.
It's just LEDs in a box.
Right, it's like just LEDs. It's
just a taser in his
But
chest.
I mean, right, it's just cosplay. Even he acknowledged that was like total clickbait, right?
In the video?
Like sometimes, I think at the time there was like, was that when there was like a group chat with James? I think he said like this is just straight up clickbait.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's, I feel like there's a lot of people who do the like they're really good makers, but it's like too clickbait, where a lot of this, you know, Marvel tech, like the reason it's, you know, Iron Man tech is because it's fiction and it literally impossible to make with modern technology, let alone, you know, budget technology in your garage.
And I think, I mean, for my part, like, obviously, if I had like another few days, I think I could have like really dialed in the tone better, because I just kind of like had to just like send it.
I still think you did. Like, I watched it and there was nothing about it that made me feel like any of it was like too aggressive.
But you're wrong, Will. Because there was a lot of people really didn't like that video. And I think the views kind of like correlate to that. Like, I don't think YouTube is going to push a video that has like a ton of
dislikes.
Yeah,
we need them to hide the likes, because it just makes me feel bad about my performance.
No.
And actually, Alan,
you got an A. It's a 95%.
95.
No, there's a curve. There's definitely a curve there. Like a bad curve.
Right. No, this is totally fine.
I mean, it does make me feel better.
It has almost half a million views, Alan.
The comments, 2,000.
Yeah, but I'm like aiming for a million. Well, whatever. I know. I'm being a baby.
Yeah, you're being a baby. But like,
I'm being a baby. Everyone else is being a baby.
I'll put my neck on the line that like all your criticisms in this video are so like super valid. And there's definitely like James and Jay Laser, and like they're really talented like engineers and makers. They just love to clickbait because it like pulls in views. Like, and then if you pull in views, you can make, you know, money. And sometimes this stuff is cool, but like, what? Does Jay Laser have the one where he puts just like the flash cotton? Is that that's what you're talking about in your video?
The repulsor. Flash cotton. Yeah, it's a piece of flash cotton, and so it like shoots a little fireball out of this like this weird metal, like it's squares of like thin metal that have been like put together.
It's not.
And the thing is, like, I am totally I was comfortable before like roasting Jay Laser. I'm like even more comfortable now, because after that video came out, he like reached out to me and he thought it was hilarious. So I was like, oh hell yeah! Like,
did you hang out with
Jay Laser?
I saw you posting on Instagram. It looks like you're hanging out with him. How was he in real life?
Yeah, so Jay Laser actually also lives like around LA. And in real life, I did not realize he's like actually a little kid. He just turned like 22. He graduated. He graduated from college like last year or like recently.
Wow.
So like not only
sure
did he start his
channel.
Are you
sure he's young, or did he just like drag his feet through school? He took 10 years to get to school.
Dude, he started his channel. I mean, if you do the math, he must have started his channel when he was like 17. And that, like, he started college and his channel blew up and he finished college. It was like, half of us can't say that.
Yeah.
No.
You do not want to see my videos from 17.
No.
Yo, like, Kevin, I was watching some of your videos when you just started.
No, I said you do not want to watch them, Nigel.
I did. One of them just starts like 80% into your project and then just ends.
Well, those are the best parts.
It was like 15 seconds.
Nigel, what's your worst?
Actually,
what's your worst video,
Kevin, your
Nigel?
First video, I genuinely liked. Inexplicably,
3D.
Yeah, it's the 3D one.
Wait, what? Wait, Alan? Wait, who has this?
Me.
Kevin.
It's my very first video.
Are you serious?
I respect it.
Is it actually 3D?
Yeah, it is.
You have a 3D camera?
Well, no, you have to wear the red and blue glasses.
What? No.
Wait, no way. Are you serious? Okay, I'm going to your channel
right
now. Like
the old school 3D.
Damn it. I used to have a whole bunch of those, and they all burned in the house.
I respected that. Inexplicably,
oh my
he just
God,
does the video
Kevin.
In 3D.
You're for...
Why?
That is
why
so funny.
Why did you,
you
do
can
it
change it? I
like
think,
that.
I think you can change it to like actual 3D instead of the red and blue.
Chelsea, do we have any 3D glasses?
I think.
No.
How did you film
it
though?
They all burned.
Well, click on 3D. See if you can change it.
Why? Well, no, I don't care about the video. It probably sucks. I want to see it in 3D.
I know, but just let me see if you can change it. Just for
you
me.
Definitely
just
can.
For me.
3D. Yeah, 2D.
Oh no, but it only is in red and blue.
That's epic. I had an idea for a long time to make a 3D video.
It was a cell phone. Wow. From like, when was this? 2013. There was a 3D cell phone that was almost like, you know how with the Switch, no, not the Switch, the Nintendo DS used with like the 3D display that you don't need glasses for. That's what this phone had, and it had two cameras on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, so the video is 8 years old?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, I guess 2013 that would be. Wow.
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 I don't know, Alan. I think basically at the end of the day, I think that your video was good, and that the people who you kind of dogged on are totally okay with it. And there's just a bunch of little kids in the comment coming to defend. It's the stands, dude. Like you can't make fun of my favorite creator. Like, dude, if someone made a video saying that my videos are stupid, I would be like, yes.
Yeah, I want to know what like, are there any videos that you guys have that people just like did not respond well to?
Yeah, I would actually.
I have one.
Okay.
The gunboat. People hated that. Actually.
Why?
So I don't remember why.
I'm gonna search for soy boy. and watch. It's gonna be. Oh wow, that's a lot of videos.
Were people unironically calling you a soy boy?
Yeah. So. When we made that video, like
that's
we
crazy.
took a game of Battleship, and we like made a boat out of it by spraying Flex Seal on the box of the game of Battleship. I don't even know how to explain it. It doesn't make any sense. And then we took two Harbor Freight drills,
okay,
and then Harbor Freight buffing like wheels, and then hot glued spoons to the buffing wheels, and then stuck the buffing wheels into the drills as paddle wheels.
Yeah.
And then we stuck a pellet gun on the boat, and we went to a competition where they build these like little tiny RC like World War II battleships.
Yeah.
Then they try to shoot each other, and the BBs shoot through the holes, and they try to sink each other. It's really cool. And I was worried that I was going to make people mad because of the gun. Like I was worried that I was going to tick off maybe more liberal leaning people because it was like, oh, we're playing with a gun. The exact opposite happened.
Really?
Yeah.
All the old people.
It was very like soy boy with a gun. It was very like I would say, you know, more gun toting. I'm
so
trying to think
the
of
the problem
a
was
thought.
They wanted you to like use a real gun.
No, because I was scared of this BB gun because we're in California where you're not allowed to open carry, you're not allowed to conceal carry. Like if
you're
you see someone
yourself.
With a if you're in California and you see someone with a pistol, like there's like that they're yeah. Like that is bad.
Yeah.
Like the police are going to show up. And so when you carry here, you have to have it like separate from you. Like it can be in a bag, it can be in your trunk. You're not supposed to carry it on your person like you can in a lot of other states. And so when we went to Big Five and we bought this pellet gun or this pneumatic, it's like a CO2 BB gun.
Pistol.
Yeah, they didn't have the box for it. It was a display model. They just stuck it in a bag. And so I have what looks like a real pistol because it's like there's no orange tip because they're dangerous.
Oh, so okay.
Over a certain like feet per second, they get rid of the orange tip.
Because it's not a toy.
It's not a toy.
Yeah.
And so I'm walking around what looks like a dead ass real pistol. And in the video, I'm like, ooh, like this is actually kind of terrifying. Like I'm going to hide this because I do not want people to see me with this.
Yeah.
Or like they will call the police. If someone sees this.
It's like that has happened before.
Yes. Oh, and when you like, have you ever filmed videos in high school where you use airsoft guns and the police show up?
It happened not to me, but it happens all the time.
To us in high school. We got held at gunpoint a long time ago. for just having airsoft guns.
We used to like run around the neighborhood with guns.
Keeping the people safe.
It's Florida.
Right? So anyways, that's who I made mad was sort of people who are, I don't even know, I'm not even sure how to describe this, but like more people who are like pro-gun, even though the video is not anti-gun at all.
It's like you weren't
actually,
like
to be
cool
fair,
guy,
there was
like
an anti-gun
typical,
sticker
like,
on the boat
cool
that we were
guy
shooting
like,
at. I remember that.
Wait, there was an anti-gun sticker?
Yeah, on the little electric boat that we were shooting at. I remember.
Was it
we
a joke?
That
oh, that was
store.
That was different.
We did it as a joke. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a joke.
So what do those boats use? Like cannons?
They're
guns.
They
in
build
there,
but... their own cannons. I'll see if I can.
Or they like modify a BB gun to fire out of.
See how to get banned from boat club. Like, oh god, yeah, wait. I want to read this comment really quick. So here's one of the comments. Ineffectual millennial engineer soy boy is terrified of guns. Scared of BB
that
guns,
is...
tell your wife to stop feeding you soy.
I almost spit out my
yeah,
kombucha.
Boy.
That was so funny.
This is the perfect representation of a soy boy. Soy, and then it's like, enter, boy. You have to click read more to get to boy.
It's
I'm
so,
just cringing
it's like...
at the gun culture of all the Americans in the comments having a go at him for being in California. Oh, that's positive. That's fine.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Like that. Wow, such a little soy boy. 9 out of 10 chance that this man drinks soy. You can feel the beta-ness through your screen.
Why is there so much soy
To be fair, there's a ton of Soylent in your kitchen.
We ordered a sample pack.
Yeah,
Soylent's great. Don't rag on
literally
Soylent.
A soy boy.
Peter, you actually seem like the kind of guy who would drink Soylent just because of your lifestyle.
Yeah. I wake up. I don't even eat breakfast. I just go to work and then eat late lunch.
Yeah, you should. Did you ever have one? Whatever. We're talking about Soylent right now.
I'm drinking your Soylent. You can keep this for yourself.
You guys don't know what we did last night, Kevin and I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I want to know how Kevin almost died.
Yeah, what happened? Did he almost die?
Oh, wait. Did we say that before we started recording?
Yeah, I was like, as
that was before
out,
we started, but.
We plugged in and started playing with the 60,000 volt variable power supply.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Okay.
Christ.
I have
Why?
Never seen. Okay. When you want to do electronics and you want to resist the flow of electricity, what do you use, Alan?
A resistor.
Okay, when the voltage gets up to 60,000 volts, what do you use?
I mean, at that point, you could use probably anything.
A piece of wood. We were using a piece of like fencing wood as a resistor.
Yeah. But the problem is like once it starts to char, your resistance is going to decrease dramatically.
So it was like we had the negative... we have the negative terminal or you know whatever is on one side, and we made a chicken stick, which is basically like, you know, the high voltage wire on a big wooden stick. Oh, so we have the chicken stick, which it's like a high voltage wire on a big wooden stick, so you don't actually have to touch the wire, so you can like
dude at
really
that point your
away.
Chicken stick better be like a PVC pipe or something.
Well,
dude,
it was
I
a
wouldn't
Home
even
Depot
do wood at that
it was
point.
A ruler,
the Home Depot meter stick,
and I noticed all the hairs on my arms started turning up just from like through the wood, so like
there were a couple times where we tried to turn the power supply off, and like there was some, I don't know where, like
just
the electrons in the air, like the field in the air is like pumping you full of electrons.
Yeah.
And so touching the grounded box to turn it off was like shocking the shit out of me.
Yeah. Like he was trying to turn it off, but he couldn't.
I literally couldn't turn the power supply off because it kept shocking me.
Once you get voltage that's like, you know, past like 20,000, it just starts getting weird.
Dude, we were
man.
Getting like 8-inch arcs over like surfaces.
That's
like
nasty.
We could probably get maybe like, it felt like 6 inches. It was probably a little bit less of like direct, like through air arcs. But the instant we did it over like an object, like this little statue, this like a muscly statue that Michael got from his Amazon video that he didn't want that I kept. It was making like 8-inch long sparks that were like tracking on top of the
gnarly.
Surface.
Yeah.
Where did you get this power supply?
eBay.
Well, what is the purpose of the power supply? Or what did you buy it for?
Well, I also have a dental X-ray head. So we're gonna pull
wait,
the
where'd you get
X-ray
that?
Tube.
eBay.
eBay. You know, I think there might even be rules about
Facebook
selling X-ray equipment, but like
there is there's a disclaimer. It says like you agree to be a medical professional.
Right. I'm like, yep. Basically, when we were done, the whole garage smelled like... I don't know how to describe it. It was like, you know, like kind of ozone, but like welding. When you're welding, it kind of has like, it's like a dirtier version of this smell. So it's almost like, it's like the ozone is like a single component of welding.
It's like the essential oil of welding.
Yeah. Yeah. Like extracted
it's not good welding. For you, yeah. Ozone is not good for you to breathe in.
I believe it.
Yeah. I feel fine. I'm cleansed.
So then it gets even worse. So today, Kevin, I genuinely don't know how Kevin hasn't died just in life yet, because he was getting way too handsy with the
terminals. He'll get there. It'll happen.
Okay. You know, the power supply terminates with like a 6-inch probe that goes deep inside the machine. Like that's how it contacts it. You know, there's no external like screws or anything. So Kevin decides to get onto a wooden table and hold on to the positive terminal. So he's literally like raw dogging 60,000 volts as a capacitor. So we slowly crank the voltage up. And so Kevin's just being, he's like a balloon just being filled with electrons. And you can see his hair like just going like, rising, on my arms.
It was like, all my hair was standing
up. If you
up.
Held onto that and then fell on the ground, it would probably like absolutely shock the crap out of you.
The thing is, I wasn't too worried because I don't think it could kill you.
I think it could. In a spike, I think it might be able to kill you.
Kevin, here's the thing. Like you do like a Van de Graaff generator, you do that. Sure. Like 100,000 volts, whatever. No problem. But like this thing, it's of this like X-ray power supply. Isn't it like 60,000 volts, but like 20 milliamps?
No, it's two milliamps. But how long? So like to stop your heart, you need to push like 15 milliamps through your heart, which at 60,000 volts is about as easy as it gets.
Yeah.
But wait,
because you're like, you're not, there's no more.
So it's 2 milliamps continuous, but it definitely has capacitance in the coax cable and inside the supply. So
yeah, that's right. It's a long
cable. So how much current will it push through you in that split second until it basically shorted
through? I think you could definitely die. Like microamps. I think you could definitely die from that.
So anyways,
we're still
kicking.
You still have that EKG machine, Kevin? You should check to see if you have a regular heartbeat now or not.
It's still going fast. This was a couple hours ago, and it's
But we weren't really shocked or anything.
No, we weren't shocked.
It was just still heartbeat now.
It's, dude, it's like the idea that
adrenaline still,
right?
Yeah,
dude, like the idea that 60,000 volts isn't dangerous. It's the idea of pushing 60,000 volts through. Like you can be charged up to 60,000 volts. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter at all.
Yeah,
you just don't want to be part of a circuit.
It's like the flow.
Right, it's the flow, like. Oh man!
You can find like human electrical models where it's like the equivalent circuit of a human is like a picofarad capacitor with like two resistors sticking out of it, and it's like that's what a person is electronically.
you're not a great capacitor.
Yeah,
but you are.
It's not a lot, but that's still that's geez, Kevin, that's
Anyways, yeah, that's
I
feel like
I don't know if I would
have
done it.
Like, you need a high voltage, buddy.
So, have you guys ever come close from dying in any like experiments? Like, what?
So, I'll tell you. It was the latest airplane. The latest airplane is totally fine now because I did reinforce specific parts.
Well, you're still here now, so
yeah.
You're
talking.
Well,
I looked back at the airplane. It was flying around. I noticed the tail was fluttering out a little bit more than it should have. This is the leading edge of the stabilizer services, and just for all of you who don't know, airplanes. Airplanes need tails
they
to
shouldn't
fly.
Flutter.
Normal airplanes need tails to fly. If the tail falls off at any point in time, the airplane will usually nosedive or go into a spin and you will die. So I looked back and I noticed the leading edge of the elevator, which is the horizontal surface, it was fluttering kind of a lot. And I'm like, shit, I better land this thing before this thing rips itself apart because it's just made out of wood. It's very strong wood because I accidentally dropped the airplane on its tail on a chair and, you know, it didn't break or anything. So I'm like, it's probably okay. But okay, anyways, okay, just imagine this because it was like there was a stick that was supposed to be there. And I just like, well, it probably doesn't need it because it's a short length and I'm not flying that fast. But this is during some of the earlier flights where it needed to fly, you know, a lot faster because the wingspan was shorter. So picture this, you have a piece of paper and you stick it out your car window. It flutters around, obviously, and you want to reinforce this. So you tape a chopstick to one side of the piece of paper and you stick it out the window again. Now, obviously, it's going to be stronger if the stick is facing, you know, the front of it and the paper, you know, falls behind like a flag fluttering in the breeze. Well, I turned that around for one of the stabilizer braces that forms the triangle. So it was on the back side of the surface. So it left the front able to shake around a little bit. On the ground, you could shake it with your hand a little bit. It didn't flutter very much at all, and I figured, you know, at 25, 30 miles an hour, it wouldn't really flutter. And yeah, it never really did. But the problem is the plane flew around 40 or so.
But it got into like a resonance.
Yeah, it started to have harmonic issues. And
I just, I like that you describe this like necessary part of your airplane as a stick. Like literally, like, yeah. So I put a stick in there.
So that, yeah, because, you know, triangles are strong, but I put the triangle on the back surface. So if you look at the...
Peter died doing what he loved, yeah. Smashing into the ground.
Screaming at the top of my lungs, totally regretting my decisions. But
so as you left the world just as he entered it.
So what did you do? What did you end up doing? Did you just land the plane? Like you just immediately...
Oh, yeah. I just was like, oh, shit, I better land the airplane. I looked back and it's fluttering. I mean, it probably wasn't fluttering that much. Maybe a whole deviation of maybe...
Yeah, but then it's, you never know. It's going to start like wearing a connection and it's going to tear off eventually.
Yeah. But I mean, I put a lot of glue and a lot of gussets. Like I put two pieces of wood together and then routed it down and then gusseted it with plywood. So like, I definitely built it like
you mean
a real airplane.
Stick. The stick yeah, that the you sticks, put on your airplane. Sticks,
yeah.
Did you like inspect it after landing and see any kind of like wear?
Oh, there was absolutely none. It's
okay. Okay. Yeah. So you were totally fine. It was just kind of scary.
Yeah, yeah. It was just fluttering. Where if it were to get worse, like I would maybe go up to 50 or 60, it would probably actually destroy itself.
Nigel, you're still here.
Like, you know,
I am
like,
not here.
Yield strength of wood is close to the ultimate strength where it just blows apart once it starts yielding.
Nigel just doesn't have any thoughts on airplanes.
Nigel, what made you decide that you wanted to buy a fume hood?
What?
What experiment made you realize you needed a fume hood in your lab?
I don't know.
It wasn't the
it's a better it's cause... it's what experiments made me.
I'm trying to think like what's the worst thing that could happen doing chemistry. It's like maybe like a small scale explosion or something.
Every single dangerous thing that I've ever done has to do with breathing in toxic gas.
Perfect. That's a great story. Why didn't you open with that? That's why I literally referenced the fume hood, because I just assumed that the toxic gas would probably have been a likely scenario.
Yeah.
The gas is the worst, because unlike liquids and solids, you can't control them, right? So if you have no ability to get rid of
the
vapors...
Dude, I can't control my liquids or solids.
Look, I made a joke and it landed. Yes! There you go.
Thank you.
Good one, Will.
So what'd you do?
What? So,
how'd you...
So I would say that I'm trying to think. Two of them, one of them was just on purpose, and it was just poor decision making.
Does one of them involve damaging the part of your brain that tells stories?
Maybe actually. I'm just trying to think because there's been at least a few. The most common one, probably like three or four times, was just chlorine gas. There was a warning that it made chlorine, but when I mixed the chemicals, I didn't smell it. So I decided to put my head in the bucket.
Oh my God, this reminds
to
me
confirm,
of like
and
vapor.
I confirmed.
In Chemistry 101, we did something with acetic acid, and I was like, oh, like that's vinegar.
No, don't breathe in pure acetic acid. I did that. Well, I did that figured, once too. I did that once as well.
I figured it out. I'm pretty sure that it actually damaged my
brain,
my smell receptor. It
really?
Because like I've ever since then, I couldn't smell for like a week or two, and ever since then, my sense of smell has been kind of like half.
Wow.
Interesting. Because I've smelled pure acetic acid just straight from the bottle, and I remember. I don't know why I did it. I don't know why.
Well, I did it because I was like, oh, it's like vinegar. I wonder what it, like, does it smell like vinegar to, you know?
I don't know. Maybe I had the same
mind. It smells
same
like
idea.
Pain. That's what it smells like.
I remember, though, it burns so quickly and so badly that it reminds me of when you touch the stove. You pull the bottle away before you even really know what's happening.
Oh, it's like instinct.
Yeah. It's like instant. That, you know it was a bad decision the moment you do it.
So like it was like probably reflex.
Yeah.
Some of like the worst pain I think I've ever experienced inside of like my head.
Oh,
like
oh God.
And nasal. Like
I breathed in. It's always chlorine and acids and all that stuff that you get a good breath and you burn your sinuses. I never lost my smell though, thankfully.
I mean, I just maybe have bad smell. I don't know.
So wait, I have two other chemicals. One, I think I'm just sensitive to, which is sulfur dioxide. So if you do gold purification, you make a lot of sulfur dioxide. And
that's the smell of matches, right?
Yeah, kind of. But I think I'm sensitive because I don't even have to breathe a lot of it. And then I get, I don't know, like breathing problems for days. So I did that years ago, and that's the one where I think I told Kevin that when I was going to bed, I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna wake up.
That reminds me of a very, very similar scenario where I was playing with a neon sign transformer. It was like a 3000 volt transformer, and I would hold the wires up to like each other, and they would arc, and I'd put like a piece of paper in between them and light the paper on fire. And one time I accidentally like touched both leads.
Okay.
That is a lot.
My heart felt kind of funny. And I went like, it was like Christmas. I think it was like, you know, the end of December. And so I immediately unplugged it, put it down, and walked into the living room where my family was and just sat down. And I was like, well, in case I like die or have a heart attack, they'll immediately notice. And I just sat there quietly. You know, like, like half the people in this podcast, like Kevin doesn't have insurance. Nope. Peter didn't have insurance.
I have Canadian insurance.
What are you on? Are you on Obamacare, Alan?
I have like catastrophic coverage. I want to switch to like an HSA compatible thing, but I have like basic health care. So
like,
I do.
And Nigel's the only one here. Well, I guess I do too, but like it has actual comprehensive health care coverage and you don't use it at all.
I just find it so inconvenient to go to the hospital.
Here's the thing.
I just find it so inconvenient
Nigel,
to save my life.
Nigel, you should
catastrophic.
Let me give you one good reason to go to the hospital. Like, who cares if you die? If you get CT scans, they'll give you the files, and you can like 3D print your bones.
Oh, I've gotten a CT scan recently.
There you go.
Did you get the files and 3D print your bones?
I have a CT scan that I paid for of my sinus, so I have that. But at the hospital, I didn't ask for it.
You probably still...
I have it somewhere.
What did you get at the hospital?
They gave it to me on a disc. Sorry?
What did you get? What did they scan?
My head. So, I just didn't ask for the files.
Look, I'm making a mug. I'm going to make a mug of my skull. This is my skull. This is not good for an audio podcast, but this is a...
Yeah, wow. This is really, really interesting.
This is why we need to set YouTube. Up the proper the video.
I know. Every dude, it takes us like 20 minutes just to get like, the podcast recording.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. We're still struggling on the audio portion.
Right. It's like a bunch of like grandmas trying to get like FaceTime to work.
I don't think your computer can do
like,
all
they're
that.
Like holding the phone. They're like, how's it going? And they're like noses right in the camera, and you can't hear them, and you see their boogers. My mom was asking me. She was she wanted to buy like stocks or crypto and stuff. And she's like, what should I do? And I'm like, well, you know, just get like a Robinhood account. It's easy to use. And then she's like, what should I buy? And I'm like, what do you want to buy? And she's like, should I buy this or that? And I'm like, mom, I'm not going to be your like financial advisor and you lose your money. Then you come get mad at me.
You should sell your mom an NFT to one of your videos.
Yeah.
And when they stop trending on Twitter, sell them.
Dude, I feel like the one rule that has basically consistently made all of us gains.
Yeah.
Don't sell.
Why are you looking at me?
My problem is you made a very good bet that you bailed on way too early.
I was early on AMC. And then it spiked.
Kevin would have been loaded if he had just held.
I know.
Like, loaded.
But I did, like, really, I would say the smart thing. By, like, it's going down. I missed the peak because it stopped trading because whatever happened with Robinhood, they did that thing where they halted trading. And it went down. And I had hopes that it was going to go back up. It didn't. So I sold it. And then, like, the next day or two, it shot back up again.
Dude, I'm positive on my GME. I'm not even going to share. At one point, I was pretty embarrassed because it was a significant amount of money that I was down on GME. And it, like, I can't sell it. Like, dude, at that point, I'm just a GME shareholder. I'm in it for the long haul.
See, that's a good way to think about it.
Like, I am a GameStop fan now. Look, I'm up finally.
Yeah.
Are you gonna hold Will?
I'm happy.
Yeah, I'll hold it. What do I have to lose?
A lot of money.
I know.
Here's another major rule: don't invest what you can't afford to lose. Or
that is such a
like gambling. Yeah. All
right. There's two rules: only buy, never sell. two, only buy things that you're ready to lose all the money that you spent. If you're ready to lose all the money that you spent, like basically ride or die, like wait for it to go down to zero. That's how you should treat it, because if you're basically putting like your emergency fund into something and get yourself into trouble, then you're gonna be way more prone to bail and like screw yourself. Like you get the best deals when you're willing to like suck it up and say no.
Yeah.
Like if you're willing to take the loss and you don't panic, you're always going to get a better deal.
Because it's all psychology. Exactly. Because everyone else is selling. And if you just, you don't want to be that guy.
Well, here's the thing too. It's like, that you heard this expression before. The stock market is just a device to transfer money from impatient people to patient people.
Albert Einstein,
1983.
I don't know, but it's dumb though. It's like a lot of people put like their life savings in the stock market. They see this thing go down, and then they freak out and panic sell. And if they were just to simply just hang on over time, they would come out with a positive, because overall it just seems to go up over time.
So you're saying this is like the grown-up version of the marshmallow test then, where you're like you offer a kid a marshmallow and you're like, well, if you wait 5 minutes, I'll give you two marshmallows. Or you can eat the one marshmallow now.
Right.
And the thing with the like GameStop and all those meme stocks, it's like a million person prisoner dilemma. And that's why it's scary.
Do you know that Kevin 100% would have just eaten the first marshmallow?
Oh, yeah. I don't think they would have been able to ask him the question. Like, the researcher would have opened their hand with a marshmallow, and Kevin would have immediately grabbed it and swallowed it whole.
I'm a little confused. Is this like the compounding thing where, let's say, I'll give you $100 today, or I'll give you a penny today and then give you a penny tomorrow? And
no,
I'll double it.
No, it's literally just like a psychological test to see like how patient a kid is. And so what you do is like you show them like a marshmallow in front of them physically. Like, you can take this marshmallow right now and eat it. Or if you wait like a short amount of time, like 5 or 15 minutes or something like that, or like something that might be sort of long for a kid, but is relatively short. You're like, if you can wait this amount of time, instead, I'll give you two marshmallows. And it's like the kids that are able to wait for the time to get two marshmallows usually end up like doing much better later in life financially.
Right. See, I would have been the kid who waited. I would have been the kid who waited till the guy giving me the marshmallows died, because he like had been doing it for 60 years and I was just sitting there. I have a huge mound of marshmallows in front
of me.
Will's
actually still participating in the marshmallow experiment that was started in kindergarten for him.
Dude, I have over 48,000 marshmallows.
It's like Scrooge McDuck, but with marshmallows.
Right.
But they've gone hard and crusty. Right.
Yeah, they're ruined.
Gotta be like hundreds of dollars worth of marshmallows.
Oh yeah, it's definitely at least ones of dollars worth of marshmallows.
Do you guys know how much money I have in stocks and crypto?
None.
Still zero.
A big zero. You know, if
you, I mean, I'm pretty much right there with you, Nigel. So I'm investing in inflation, and so far it's returning less and less every year for
strong
some reason.
Negatives.
Here's financial advice.
Recently put a bunch of money into a Canada savings bond with a return of 0.5% per year.
That sounds like less than inflation.
That's much less.
Nigel, that's like arguably stupid.
So I'm doing better than Alan.
Actually stupid.
Oh shit.
Dude, did you Or you like
Who
going in a whole
bunch of money and just buy whatever chemicals you want and just do stupid stuff?
The reason I don't invest is just because I forget. There's actually no other reason.
Yeah, for someone who had the like patience to set up an entire like real lab, the fact that none of your finance is in order is hilarious to me.
I just
Nigel,
don't.
Have
just
you ever
don't
considered
really care?
Like,
have you considered
I don't
making
don't
and selling
retire
drugs
eventually?
Probably.
He considered it. He definitely, because I pestered him about making meth.
Yeah,
exactly. I have other plans that will keep me financially stable.
You don't get
stable
into chemistry without a small interest in that.
Yeah.
Like, it's either like explosives or drugs or like that. Like,
this is Kevin projecting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
right, Nigel? Right?
Kevin, I have never once wanted to make a drug or an explosive. Everything I do is 100% legal, and my desires are completely legal.
I don't like drugs or bombs.
Legal.
Poisons. You have cyanide.
That's legal.
I feel like Nigel maybe is actually trying to kill himself.
No.
But who goes into chemistry like...
I'm joking. Everyone, I started with explosives. I told you last time, but they scared me, so I stopped. Then everyone does like the idea of making drugs.
Weren't you just talking about some gold explosive?
Wait, what? I want to make
You're
a gold
about
explosive.
Making explosives out of gold.
Yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah,
a gold explosive?
Yeah, you can make gold fulminate.
Oh, really, so it'll be like really,
really
sensitive?
Unstable?
Well, it'll just blow up and it shoots powdered gold everywhere.
Fulminating means very sensitive and angry.
I don't, because...
Did he say unsensitive? Or?
No,
so
it'll be sensitive,
I don't
know how sensitive, though.
You don't have any stocks. you put money into a really crappy bond and then you want to just blow up gold. I honestly, the thing that I respect the most of all of those is the blowing up gold.
Oh yeah.
That's how, like,
I think you
it's
can
like
collect
dying
the
of
dust.
Old age is
I think
boring.
You can collect it.
You think if you do it in a fume hood and it just gone your, like the bakery
just,
next door.
So it's a video that I can never make just because it feels so wasteful, but taking like a stupid amount of money worth of gold and just blowing it up. It's just, I don't know. There's something.
I have a suggestion.
I want to do it. It just feels interesting.
No, but hear me out. I had this idea to make it rain from space where you like get a weather balloon and you bring a bunch of like hundreds and hundreds of dollars up into space and just dump them.
That's good.
But the idea was to get people to send me dollars. Mm. And so they would like individually, they'd mail me dollars. And like those are the dollars that I would like bless. What if you asked for like either gold donations or just money, like a little GoFundMe, and all the money, this would be like a Cards Against Humanity kind of gag.
Yeah.
Every single dollar up that people send you, you buy gold and you blow it up.
So
that's good.
That is funny.
That's super good.
The only problem is I would start getting, the more money people donate, I'd start getting afraid. Because
Once you get like,
oh, but the amount like of sensitive explosive you have to make just keeps growing, and you start wondering if you're just gonna die.
Well, then, do what's a reasonable amount? Like, okay, how much is an ounce of gold for what you want to do?
I mean, probably an ounce is.
Would you be
it's
scared?
Probably too much. I don't
really?
Know.
This is cheap.
I mean,
okay, this is easy.
An ounce of gold of an ounce, but then again, gold's really heavy, so it's probably not even like actually that much explosive.
I think it's like 17.
Well, because silver fulminate is what's in those like those snap fireworks, right? Where you just throw them on the ground, and they pop.
Silver's
and that's like micrograms.
It's particularly sensitive. Yeah, I think it's milligrams. I think it might be a couple. I don't know how many.
Wait, why not? Why not just make the poppers out of gold?
I mean, I could. Gold poppers.
Actually, that'd be kind of cool. Gold plated poppers.
Is it bad? I like the idea
like
of putting my own money into it.
Throw on the ground poppers. No, but the idea is hilarious is the audience is like wasting money with
it. I get
it. And this is probably one of those things where if it's wet, it won't explode. So you just like make it all, keep it
you're
wet,
right.
Bring it to a field, let it evaporate, and then blow it up.
I just
like look at the Cards Against Humanity stuff where they just dug a hole and they just kept digging a hole as long as people were donating.
I agree with you, but I don't know why. I feel like just personally putting a bunch of money into something and just blowing it up.
Dude, okay, Nigel, you realize at some point in your life you're going to have to like retire.
Not if I do things properly.
See,
what does
I
that
told
mean?
You he was trying to kill
that's
himself.
Ominous, I told Nigel. That sounded like that. Definitely sounded like a threat for yourself.
No, it's just it's a joke, you know. It's a
note to self.
It's a classic joke. I don't know.
That was
if it's
like an oopsie.
That's a classic. Chemist
classic
joke.
Nigel.
I don't know.
I mean, dude, look at all the famous chemists.
I don't know if it's
They're
a classic
dead from not natural causes.
Yeah,
it's just.
I'm going to give you the suicide hotline number
at least
now.
When I was in the lab, everyone would joke about, because the people would talk about safety and they're like, oh, don't get this. It'll give you cancer. And everyone's like, it doesn't matter because we're just going to be dead by the time we're 30 something anyway, like with all the chemical exposures. So it's like, why do you really have to worry about what you're exposed to? You know what I mean? It's a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah.
I'm not actually, you know, I take safety measures and I'm just joking.
I was just saying,
if you live life and do some extreme exciting chemistry, maybe one day it'll be so extreme and so exciting that it's your last one.
I'm gonna clip this. Niall Red wants to kill.
To be completely clear, I'm absolutely joking. I'm absolutely joking. Yes.
I believe you.
Which is why I'm afraid
of making
explosives.
If somebody made that joke
and
that I wouldn't believe them. Who is that person?
Sorry.
I'm trying to think of the person that if they made that joke, I would believe them.
No, I'm joking. It's just, yes, I will have to retire.
No, it's. I feel like, you know, like when you play with stuff that has like some relative danger to it, like even the high voltage stuff, like if you play with it without the inkling that like this can kill you, like you are an idiot.
Yeah, you're already dead.
You have to be thinking about death when you play with stuff that's this dangerous.
The worst case scenario at all times.
Right. What's kind of funny is what saves me a lot is not the actual thinking. I mean, I think about safety a lot, and obviously I don't want to hurt myself or anyone else, but the fact that I have to film it and it's so tedious to film everything, I will look up everything that could possibly go wrong because it's such a pain to have to refilm stuff. And that prevents a lot of mistakes and accidents, actually, which is kind of...
Wow, right. So that's what's keeping you... It's keeping me alive. Yeah.
If I stop like, filming it, I'm done.
When we blew some stuff up in the desert, we made these, like, very... Probably, like, it was a learning experience when we made the charges.
Yeah.
And when I was wiring the charges, they were electronically detonated. But it still is just like when you're just screwing stuff together and doing whatever, it's like you just don't know.
There's always that chance.
Like, what if there's some static or like a spark from like the plastic being screwed?
That's why
together?
I don't do explosives. So
like, I would. Oh, dude, I hate explosives. Like, yeah. I would use my left hand, my other hand. I would like lock behind my back, and I would do everything with just like two fingers, like trying to articulate everything. And so it's like if.
Yeah,
it goes off. It's gonna blow up one hand.
The spare.
That's smart. That's what you do. Yeah, with electricity.
Blow up right. I do the same thing with like when we do with electricity. Stomach. I hook my right hand behind my back.
Yeah,
and I use the other hand, and I just am trying to be very conscious of like where I'm touching and what I'm next to.
You know what video terrified me? The video that Peter shared a long time ago about static, because.
Why?
Did you watch it? Because they're telling you things.
Crazy. You should have watched it.
They were like, if you filter some solvent and it drops out drop-wise into another solvent on it, just like a drop's hitting the surface, I think these like there's some scenarios where it can actually ignite the solvent. I was like, what?
Oh, no, that's just
I think
water.
It's the drop, the droplet passing through the air, probably.
Yeah, it made me too paranoid. It made me so paranoid. They started lighting fires from... stuff that I thought was totally safe, and I was like, I don't like this video.
Was this like a 1950s?
It was an older video, They were just talking
about
static.
Those videos are the best.
And it was long, too.
The black and white, like, radio announcer instructional videos, the informational ones, are so good. They're so well thought out.
They're, like, nicely paced. They're, like, very deliberate.
A soothing voice, too. Yeah.
It just made me really paranoid now. Because there's nothing you can really do to avoid a lot of it. But they were doing everything. But that's the thing. They're like, okay, before you do a filtration, you should ground your filtration thing or couple it to the beaker you're filtering it in. I'm like, I can't do that.
Just be careful when you're working.
Nobody
with
does
anything
that,
flammable
right?
on a small scale.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Don't do large quantities. Just do small scales of stuff where it's like a fire in the fume hood isn't a big
deal. And my fume hoods are all stainless steel, so it's not a problem.
You could probably light a beaker full, like 100 milliliters of gasoline in the fume hood, and it wouldn't be a big deal.
Oh, no, not at all. It's perfectly fine. It's just the fact that I saw the video and I was like, I didn't even know these were risks.
Right.
I mean, it never happened. Nothing ever went wrong, but still knowing that it could, I was like, oh.
Yeah, but I mean, you could be like doing something in your lab and then like an asteroid, like a micrometeorite like passes through your skull. Like, I don't know. Like, what are the odds?
I mean, I feel like I have more control over the static than I do the meteor. But yeah.
Died doing what he loved.
Dying.
With meteorites passing through the brain.
What's the joke when you're like driving on the freeway and like bugs are hitting the windshield and you're like, what's the last thing that went through the bug's mind? It's ass.
I haven't heard that one. That's graphic.
All right, let's we're gonna go get pizza.
Oh my god.
And then tomorrow Kevin and I are looking at a house. I miss living with Michael, and so
So you're replacing him
again.
The little humanity.
Yeah, friendship ended with Michael. Kevin is new best friend, and Alan.
memory card's full.
Okay. All right. Peter's memory card is full. On that note, we'll talk next week. Kevin and I are going to go eat pizza and then look at a house tomorrow.
Yeah.
See you guys.
See you guys.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit hyland.com.